Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Cordera Aisha Muhammad on Blog Talk Radio for Religion Means Alive. Today's date is December the 10th, 2015. Tonight's topic is, are you afraid to be Muslim in the USA? First and foremost, we want to give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing us to see another day. Another day to praise him and worship him, another day to seek Tawbah and to be forgiven of our sins, to do more good deeds and abstain from bad deeds. I've seen this post, and I've been posting various things about all the events that have been, you know, happening within the community close to home as well as in other communities in regards to the terror attacks that were, you know, orchestrated here in the United States and also in Paris. There's a lot of things that are running through my mind regarding these situations. There has been a lot in the news where there has been, you know, attacks on the masjid. There has been, you know, anonymous threats made to various Muslim sisters who were with their children out and about, you know, taking care of different chores and, you know, errands they had to run, you know, out and about with their children being attacked. And and, you know, it becomes frustrating that, you know, every time something happens and the person happens to be Muslim, society and the media want to portray us as all terrorists. We know, and I'm not going to keep going through this because, you know, it's like trying to fix a skipping record. Clean the record off. You can put, for those of you who know about records, you could put a penny or a nickel on the back to try to balance it better. But eventually it's still going to skip. And this is where I'm at with, you know, trying to defend Islam, because the people who I'm trying to convince about Islam will remain ignorant. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that whom he guides, no one can lead astray. And whom he leads astray, no one can guide. So I'm leaving that right where it's at, you know. It's becoming annoying. Yes, annoying. That's my word for it now. It's becoming annoying because it's like I'm not understanding. Can people really be this naive or this stupid about certain things that happen? I'm just not buying it. I'm just not. It's like, I'm going to put it out there like this. It's like you want to have a reason to hate us just based out on ignorance. So when these incidents happen, that's your reason to lash out. That's your reason to attack somebody because you just needed a reason to do it. And so now you feel as though that it's okay for you to do because, hey, they gave me a reason to attack them. A lot of these incidents that I read on the internet and, you know, with various places and things like that that go around, I say to myself, being, you know, African-American, a woman, and also be a Muslim, these people or these orchestrators the ones that are attacking Muslims? They know what Muslims to attack. And that I'm just going to leave it at that. They know exactly what Muslims to target. They know exactly who to approach. They know exactly what to do. And they know that these people, these Muslims that they attack, won't put up a fight. They won't fight back. They're going to take that beating, and they're going to be okay with it. They may close up their store. They may not come, you know, come to the area anymore. They may not do this. They may not do that. But these people who are attacking these Muslims, and they're punks, they're cowards, because you're attacking elderly Muslims. You're attacking women Muslims. You're attacking Muslim women with their children. So basically, you're a coward. You're a coward because you know who to target. You know who you could go up to and, you know, attack. And these people aren't going to fight back. They're not going to do anything about it. There was a masjid here, well, in Philadelphia, where someone threw a pig's head at the masjid. And, you know, it was on the news, and Mayor Michael Nutter called, you know, Donald Trump out and said that, you know, because of his rhetoric and his hate for Muslims, it's causing these people to rear up. But again, these people already hated people anyway. They already hated Muslims before, but they just needed a reason to act out on it, because they needed that, oh, okay, so you can do it now. You can say it now, and no one's going to say anything to you because everybody hates them right now. So you're good if you go out there and attack them. The masjid that was attacked was a Middle Eastern, usually Middle Eastern Muslims frequent that masjid. Not so much African Americans. There are some African Americans that go there. But for an incident like that to happen at a prominently African American masjid, not going down. It's not going to happen. Why? Because these people clearly, they definitely know better. For these cowards who are attacking Muslim women with their children, of course they're going to protect their children from any hurt, harm, or danger because you're attacking them. But attack a certain group of sisters, or attack a sister by herself, and you get that right one, you probably won't ever try that again. But again, these people know who to attack. They clearly know who to attack. When I read these articles, even over in the UK and other places like that, where I'm reading that, you know, these people were attacked, I'm not saying go out there and look for trouble. Absolutely not. This is something we don't do. We don't go looking for trouble. We don't go looking for it. We don't go seeking it. We don't entertain it. But if someone comes to you and someone attacks you, you have every right to defend yourself. You have every single right to defend yourself. And it's nothing wrong with you defending yourself if someone has attacked you. You know, like on the last call, stated that, you know, sisters, if you do go out, make sure you could take, you know, your guardian with you, travel in numbers, try to go out, you know, in the daylight hours and not after Maghrib, you know, go out only in necessity, you know, fathers, brothers, if you out there and you're listening, I'm just going to suggest that you take your wife to work, take your sister to work, take your mother to work, take your children to school, pick them up from school, pick them up from work, wherever they need to go. This right now, we're on high alert. We're on very high alert, so we need to make sure that the women are safeguarded. We need to make sure that the children are safeguarded and that no hurt, harm, or danger comes to them. May Allah safeguard the Muslims, I mean. Second, what I wanted to get into is that I've seen a lot of posts where people are stating, okay, take it, kimars off, don't look Muslim. And I said to myself, oh, what the belay? Like, who's doing it? Like, who's doing it? And why are you doing it? I mean, what's your purpose for doing it? I fear no one but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something that we as Muslims clearly need to understand. You need to have taqwa law. You need to have that. And you must also understand what the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really means. Whatever is going to befall on you is going to befall on you. Whatever is not going to hit you will never hit you. It has to have the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal for it to take place. And the only thing that can do that is du'a. Sincerely, wholeheartedly, du'a can change that. Because Allah already knows what's going to happen in that situation. You don't know what's going to happen in that situation. Always tie your camel, though. But we have to stop listening to certain people. We need to stop listening to certain people talk. We need to stop following being chic people because this person said do it. Oh, now I'm going to do it. There are clear reasons on why you can denounce Islam. And, you know, I researched this because someone came to me and they said, well, yeah, you can denounce Islam if your life is going to be in danger. And it's hadith on that. So, of course, you know me. I like to find out the root cause of things. Where did this come from? How was it established? How did the Sahabas handle a situation like this? How did Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, handle a situation like this? What course of action was taken? What does the Quran say about this? What does the word of Allah say about situations like this? And this is what we should be acting on. We should not be acting on someone telling you to go against clearly what's in Quran and Hadith. Because it is in Quran and Hadith that says that you can't do it or you shouldn't do it. You know, the sister said, well, yeah, it's times where you can denounce your faith if you're in fear of your life. And I remember reading it years ago. I remember reading it saying that, you know, if your life was threatened or if you thought that you was going to receive harsh punishment, that you could take your hijab off and not look Muslim and things like that. But as a more seasoned Muslim and as a Muslim who has studied these things and looked up these things and not just took what someone's word says and also following what the pious predecessors have done in these situations and also what our noble scholars have stated on these incidents on how we should proceed with these things, this is who I'm taking from. Because somebody saying, you know, my husband said, no, I'm not rocking with that. I'm not following through on that. I'm not taking part to that. Like, I'm going by what Quran, Hadith, and the scholars said we should do on these situations. So I'll give you the number. I always use IslamicQuestions.com. That's lamqa.com. There, it's a great reference site where it will break down. It will give you what Noble Scholars have said on this, what the Sahabas, the Companions of Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said. It will give you the Hadith number. It will also give you clear and decisive information about what is stated in Quran about this. And it gives you a great reference point. So this was on IslamQuestions.com. And if anybody wants to look this up, here is the number for reference. So when you get in there, you'll see a little search box. You could just key this number in there. It's 178975. What is Takaya, this simulation from Islam? Well, this is based on Fatwa number 101272. And this is something that the branch of Islam that the Shiites follow. This is not something that our Sunnah follows. This is not a practice that we participate in. If you are, this is not something we participate in. And the reason why is because this was a practice that was used in early Islam. So during the time of the Sahabas, during the time of Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you know, in the Caliphate states, these times, the, you know, first three generations of the pious predecessors, this was used in their time where if they came upon a situation where they needed to renounce Islam, this was something that was permitted because the numbers of Muslims weren't great. There weren't a lot of Muslims, and at that time, if these people told them that they were Muslim, they would try to wipe them out, like wipe them off the face of the earth. Right now, we have 1.6 billion Muslims in the entire world. There is no reason for you to be cutting your beard off. There is no reason for you to uncuff your pants. There is no reason to take your robe off, take your izzar off, take your kufi off. Sisters, there is no reason for you to take off your hijab, your kimor, your jalabiya, your abaya, your overhead. There is your niqab. There is no reason in this day and time that we should have to denounce our religion just to satisfy these people and their illusions. Remember, we're not talking about people who loved us before this happened. We are clearly talking about people who hated us, who despised us, and just wanted a reason to say something to us, wanted a reason to be able to attack us. These are the people that we're fighting. Again, this goes down, the reference that I gave you, it goes down the list of everything on why we should not do it. We should not take believers as friends or protectors. This is something that I said earlier, and I stand by this 100%. And I have seen this acted out because people fear the unknown, but these people are too ignorant. These people are too ignorant to follow through on anything. Somebody could say, okay, the world ended. The world no longer exists. And you would have a handful of people that believe that while everybody else is still walking around, you know, going about their day. There are people that would totally believe that the world had ended. We had this whole thing in, what was it, 2012, where they said the Mayan calendar said that the whole world was going to end, and these people have sold all their possessions, gave all their wealth to these people, and what happened? The world didn't end. No one knows of the hour except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody. Not Isa, not alayhi wasallam, not Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nobody knows of the hour except Allah Azza wa Jal? Nobody. Not one. But these people fear the unknown. These people are so backwards that they don't want to hear anything positive about Islam. And I'm doing a couple of shows because there are some things. I just want people to stop being ignorant. Basically, that's what it is. I want people to stop being ignorant. I want people to stop thinking in a box. I want people to think outside the box, be a pessimist or optimist. The glass is not halfway full, it's half empty. I want people to use their intellect that Allah gave them to use to understand some things. And this stuff that, you know, the reason why they have all this fear-mongering going on, it's bigger than what people think, but people don't understand. They're just looking at the small realm of it. It's a bigger picture. It's a bigger picture. This is one of the reasons why Muammar Gaddafi, may Allah be pleased with him, and grant him the highest level of Jannah, and grant him the status of a martyr. If anybody ever read up on, and I get emotional talking about him, because he wanted to do something. He wanted to change things, and he said it. This is what he said in one of his speeches. He said, y'all may not listen to me, but the blood of every Arab country will be spilled. His was spilled, Egypt was spilled, Tunisia. Can I go on? He knew something. He knew something. On Saturday, inshallah, I'm going to talk about false flag attacks. I'm not going to get into it. I just want you to listen. You could Google it, find out what it means. But we're going to talk about this in a bigger setting, because these are some of the things that have these people, so their mentality and their mind so warped. The media has these people programmed. That's why I call the TV the idiot box, because they could put anything on TV and people will believe it. People will have you hating your mother. They will have you hating your own child watching TV. Next, what was that, Saturday, that Monday, 12:14, inshallah, the topic is going to be, why are Muslims labeled terrorists? It's a reason. It's a reason why we are labeled terrorists. And I'm going to get into that on that show, inshallah. It's going to be very interesting. You know, Facebook keeps shutting down my account, blocking stuff, all the things like that or whatever like that, saying I'm spreading propaganda. They shut down my GoFundMe account, saying that, you know, they can't find out how I'm funneling funds and all this other stuff in there. It's just weird, like weird stuff. And I'm just like, okay, all right, well, you know, I know what that's about, because every time I share something, they're saying I'm spreading propaganda of hate. So I'm like, okay, where did I share something that was, you know, hate? They shut my account down. I got to go through a whole series of verifications of my account. Did I post this? Did I post that? Change your password again. Things like that, you know, just weird stuff. Ever since, you know, I've been posting stuff that goes against what mainstream media is stating. You know, people call me crazy. They call me insane. They say things like, you know, you're crazy. No, I'm not crazy. I am a conspiracy theorist. I am a person that believes half of what they see and none of what they hear. I don't conform to the circle that they want to put me in. I'm the one dangling outside. Well, I'm the one that's going to change that circle to a square. Because why? Because I can. You have to sometimes, I own my crazy. I tell people all the time, I own my crazy. They're like, girl, you crazy. Yes, I am crazy. I know that. I own it. But I challenge people to think bigger than what you think. And people are like, oh, no, y'all just crazy, always talking about that stuff, the New World Order and all this other stuff. Okay. If you ever read or looked that stuff up, you'll see it all falls in the plan with the end of days. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said these are signs,
He has put them in Quran. He has put them in Hadith of signs that will happen for the end of time. Days are flying by. We can't even keep track. By the time it's Friday, it's Thursday again for the next week. These are things that people don't pay attention to. It seems like it was only like two months ago that it was Ramadan. And here we're almost in the new year. That's a sign of the end of days. All this stuff that's going on, a sign that too many people ignore. They'll wait and be the sheep people, being herded along, told what to do, told how to conform, and fall in that category. I am with the wolf pack. We on our own. We doing our own thing. We hunting, and we ain't being herded. I'm on the other side. And it's not too many people that think like that. Because people always want to say, oh, no, that's not going to happen. This is not going to happen. It's a plan for everything. It's a plan for everything. I ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't test me with these things. Because I know how I would react because I said it. I said, okay, if somebody tried to pull my hijab off, tried to pull my shell or my kimar off or did something to me, I'm going to jail. I'm going to jail because I am that type of person. So Allah is saying, like, yo, Qadir, I'm not even going to touch you with that because I already know what's going to happen. I just ask that Allah keep, you know, the Muslims that are incurring these hardships, that this pain and suffering that they're enduring is the expiation of their sins. I mean, that, you know, no real harm comes to these people. Anybody in the Ummah. And this is also a time where we need to stick together, but we're running from each other. We're still bickering. We're still babbling. We're still fighting each other. Like, when will we wake up? Because they don't care if you go to Germantown or you go to Wasatiyah. They don't care. You're Muslim. They're going to attack you. They don't care if you're white Muslim, if you're white Muslim. They don't care if you're a black Muslim, but the white Muslims right now are probably suffering more than the black Muslims. Because, see, they can't really tell if they're Arab or whether they're American. They really don't know. You know, they associate all black Muslims with the nation or the FOI anyway. So, you know, they already think that we don't like them anyway, you know, from, you know, their teachings and things like that. So we need to come together. You know, like these crimes that are happening against our black men and our black boys where these cops are just murdering our husbands, our brothers, our fathers, our children, and nothing is being done. You know, it's sad that the community can't come together for these things. But not only that, stop it where it's at. Because I look at it like, you know, the 9-year-old little boy who father was part of a gang or had some issues or whatever, and these other, the rival gang, went and killed this 9-year-old boy because they couldn't get to the father. Nobody's marching for this boy. Where's the march? Where's the march for him at? But soon as a cop does something, we want to be all out in the street protesting and all this other crazy stuff. But we can't stop the war that's going on right in our backyard. And I'll tell you this. The reason why those cops continue to kill people, because they know all they're going to do is march for a little bit. They ain't going to do nothing. Marching makes, you know, good presentation for the media. But you have to hurt them where it hurts the most, and that's in their pocket. Not tearing up your own neighborhood. That does nothing. I mean, come on, your grandmom or your mom might need medicine from that pharmacy, and you done tore it down. I mean, you know, that's not the answer. One thing I always say, people who want to destroy something, they can deal with the ignorant people. The ignorant people aren't the ones that they fear. The people that they fear are the smart people who don't feed into those things and who keeps themselves out of those situations but constantly are able to hurt them where it hurts the most, and that's their pocket. And that's also not feeding into their rhetoric. You know, I had put up a post, and the post was about the new Jim Crow laws. I urge everybody to go read that book, download it on your Kindle, whatever, because that's going to be a topic on the show, inshallah, I believe next Thursday. Next Thursday, inshallah. If I get the time to, you know, download it and read as much of it as I can. Because the new Jim Crow laws is about mass incarceration. Same thing as modern-day slavery. Modern-day slavery. People think, oh, you know, I'll get into that because that's a whole show I got to do on how I seen, with my own eyes, how the government is structured to keep you incarcerated. But now they're not even targeting black males so much because we done killed them off halfway ourselves. Like, half of them is dead anyway, so they really don't have nobody else to target. So now they're attacking the children and the women. And we know that black women outnumber black men. So, hey, we really don't have no more black men to keep incarcerating. Half of them dead, half of them are in jail already anyway. Who else can we keep in here? Oh, we can keep their kids. Because you know that's what they do. Your child can't read. If you have a male child, if he can't read on third grade level, they automatically put him into a statistic that he will be in a correctional facility before he's age 18. So they're banking on, let's see, 13, 12, 13 years old, yeah, we going to start him then. This is what they do. This is what they do. People don't pay attention to these things. You know, they so worried about twerking. They so worried about, you know, loving hip-hop that these people can tell you all this stuff, but they don't know who Marcus Garvey was. They don't know anything about their history. They can't tell you, you know, like that whole incident when they had on their Real Housewives of Atlanta where the girl Portia actually thought that the Underground Railroad was a real railroad. This is the ignorance. This is the ignorance that black people have because they're too dumb to read it on their own. You got a lot of these websites that have the satire news links. And a lot of people believe that stuff. You know, when I see stuff like that, you know, and I'm like, I don't think that's real or whatever. Let me look this up a little bit further. This is what we should do as Muslims, first and foremost. You know, this is a practice that we have to do as Muslims. If someone tells you something, you tell them to provide the dalil on it or the information. Where is that located at? And now in today's time, you have to even go a further step with that because there has been people quoting hadith about things saying, hey, it's in Sahih al-Bukhari, it's in Abu Dawood, Tirmidhi, you can go here and look, give you a number and everything. And when you go and look at the actual number, that whole passage that they quoted to you don't even exist. This is what they're doing. They're trying to corrupt Islam even further because they know now people are getting hit to the thing, oh, you got to show me the proof of that. And this is something that the Salafi Dawah promotes, and this is the correct way. This is the correct way to do things. And I understand why they enforce it. I completely understand why they enforce it. And it's crucial that you don't use your own speech to misinterpret or misstate or misquote things. It's crucial to the survival of Islam that we don't do this. But people always want to bash the Salafis. Oh, it's bit of this, it's bit of that. No, it's the correct way to do it. Now, I'm not saying I agree with them on everything, but you showing me the dalil, the proof, because you could misquote something. And you're going to be held responsible for that. Or you're spreading falsehood because you know these things don't exist, but you're telling people these things. But people always want to say, oh, they go too far with stuff to say. No, they're doing it the right way. You said something, show me where you seen that at. You can't show me where it's at, then I ain't believing it. Or the person gives you the information, okay, this is where you can go find it at. Go in Sohi Abakari, this is where you find it at, this and that. Don't take that person's word for it, especially for it's a hadith that you never even heard before. Because if you're, you know, if you are a seasoned Muslim, I wouldn't say seasoned over 5 years, but if you got more than 5 years under your belt and you've been studying how you were supposed to and looking into things how you're supposed to, certain hadith you'll hear and you'll be like, yo, I don't know about that. What's the number on that one? Take the time to go pull it up yourself and see if that's what it says, because this is what they're doing to corrupt Islam. They're putting false hadith out there. These are things that we need to protect ourselves with. This is not a joke anymore. This is not going to get easier for Muslims. It's not going to get easier. After 9/11, everybody hated us. People don't understand that Muslims were killed in 9/11. No matter if the whole Islamic community from around the world stood up and said, we denounce this, we didn't have no part in this, people ain't believe that. They ain't believe it. I'll give you an example. And I want to open up the line because there are a few callers on. If you have a comment, question, or concern, feel free to call in at 805-727-7013 and press 1, and I'll put you through. I'll give you a perfect example. Years ago, I overheard someone speaking about my coworker. Now, they knew I was Muslim. She was also Muslim. But she's from Turkey, so she looks Caucasian. And again, they didn't associate me with the same Islam that she followed, because they thought that, you know, I was, you know, with the nation, which a lot of people think that, of African-American Muslims. And they started saying some stuff that didn't sit right with me, some bad things about her. And this was at work, and I had to, like, really hold it together, because I said, I need my coin, so I can't mess up my coin. But I said, why would you say that about her? I said, the same way that she believes is the same way I believe. And they were shocked. Another thing, you can show these people in the Quran, like when you tell them all about Moses, when you tell them about Ibrahim, all of the prophets, may Allah be pleased with them all. When you tell people about how the Quran and the Bible are similar, and we have the same things, we even hold women to a greater esteem than in the Bible, they still don't believe it. You could show them, they don't believe it. So it's a whole chapter about Mary, mother of Isa, alayhi salam. Whole book, whole chapter about her in the Quran. This is how Allah wanted to give her that status of giving her a whole chapter in the Quran. They don't believe it. They say we worship the devil. I heard all kinds of things. Oh, that's your God. I said, no, we worship the same God. If you know, you're Christian, same God. No, we don't. That's a law. Y'all believe in the law. So if you went to the Middle East and you talk to a Christian that spoke Arabic, what do you think he's going to call God? He's going to say Allah. And they looked at me. Says Arabic for God. Like, there's nothing weird about that. Nothing strange about that. It's just that you want to remain ignorant. I'm not trying to convert anybody to Islam. And we know that. Allah makes Muslim. I can't make nobody Muslim. Allah makes Muslim. He lifts that veil from over their heart, and they're able to understand the religion. This is where the hate for Islam is out of ignorance. And we have to, you know, safeguard ourselves so much so that we have to walk on eggshells, because people can make certain jokes and things like that, but if we did those jokes, it'd be off with our heads. The whole world would collapse if we did certain things. And, you know, it's that way for me at work. I'm the only Muslim that works in my department. And like I said last week, we had a power issue or something at my job, and like all the power went out. It went out, came back on, like maybe 10 seconds later, came right back on. Everybody runs to my office. Are you okay? Excuse me? Why are y'all running to my office? Oh, we was just checking to see if I... For real? Like, for real? Then I had coworkers, you know, come to my office asking me, you know, so how's life treating you? We never discussed these things before. Never asked me. Never even said good morning to me. But you want to come to my desk and ask me how life's doing? What is it that you fear? What is it? I mean, that's what I really want to know. That's the question that I really want to ask, is what do you fear? Because I should fear you more than you fear me. You know, I said in a post, and this is the God honest truth. This is the God honest truth, and this is something that I have seen, and people are like shocked. You know, I don't understand why, but people just think that we are this evil, that we got this evil and that we're taught evil and things like that. I've studied Islam 2 years. I actually was covering and praying and doing everything I was supposed to be doing and didn't take my Shahada for 2 years. Read up on it, studied on it, you know, went to Juma, everything. For 2 years, to my good friend, Sabira, may Allah reward her for taking that action of, you know, pulling me and saying, you're going to take your Shahada today. He said, you're doing everything that you're supposed to be doing, alhamdulillah, that you're supposed to do, you're going to take your Shahada today. And she set it up, and mashallah, been Muslim since. I was doing everything. It was just, you know, the shaitan messes with you with that stuff like, oh, no, you shouldn't take it yet. Oh, you ain't ready. You ain't going to do this right and this and that and this and that. You know, I had all those crazy things going through my head. Oh, people want going to be not mad at me. They're going to be mad at me. But why? Because I was already covering. I was literally wearing kimars and modest clothing already. No short sleeves, shorts, none of it. I was already doing it. Put up on a post that I said, I don't care if I seen a Jew, a Christian, an atheist, a Buddhist, you could have been white, you could have been Chinese, you could have been Asian, you could have been whatever race, creed, or nationality, culture, I don't care. If I've seen somebody attacking a woman or somebody elderly or even a child, or even, I'm going to say this, a man that was, you know, almost defenseless against somebody, I'm going to stand up for them. Especially if I see that it was out of just pure hate and I see them being attacked, I am going to stand up for them. But my question to, you know, the people who follow me was, do you think they would do the same for me? No. They wouldn't. They wouldn't intervene. They wouldn't intervene. I've seen it happen. Elderly gentleman was very frail looking. He was coming from the hospital. I seen this armband on his arm. And he tripped and fell. And as he was trying to get up on the bus, bus driver didn't shut the bus off, you know, shut the bus off and try to help him. It was men right behind me, you know, trying to get on the bus. They stepped over this elderly man. This man had to be in his 80s. Stepped over him to get on the bus. I helped the elderly man up, and then when somebody seen me helping him, another lady came and helped. I'm talking about there were grown men that could have easily helped this gentleman up and helped him onto the bus. But they didn't. They just sat there, went and paid their fare, and went and sat down. Like it never happened. The bus driver, male bus driver, didn't help, didn't say anything. They sat there, and they watched two women help this elderly gentleman up. I'll give you another example. I was coming from Renton Terminal. I like to run there on my lunch break because they got real good food there. So any of my listeners, if you're ever in Philly, definitely hit Renton Terminal. They got awesome food down there, awesome fruits, vegetables, fish, all that fresh good stuff down there. Yeah, I'm giving a free advertisement for Renton Terminal. I was getting some, you know, fruits and vegetables and stuff like that down there, and the handle on my bag had broke, and, like, my apples and stuff like that had fell out the bag. Nobody helped me. People actually walked over top of my bag to get past me. Not one person. Not one person. Not one person helped. It's sad. You know, I was stating that even in the times of adversity, that Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he exhibited so much restraint and patience with these ignorant people. Ask Allah for some of that. Because I know how I am, and I'm glad that Allah is not testing me with those things. Because I know that if somebody tried to hurt me or my children, we're going to have a real bad problem. You know, it's just so difficult to grasp these things. And, you know, I'll get into, you know, on Monday, on Saturdays and Monday show, why people chose to attack Islam. I'll get into that. And it's bigger than what people think. People always say, oh, no, that's not the reason. Yes, it is. It's been already in the works for these things to happen. All we can do is seek Allah for patience, for guidance, and protection. Because I fear no man but Allah. No man. It is what it is. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. Whatever's not going to happen is not going to happen. This is something that we must learn to realize as Muslims. Like, this is something, like, you can't prevent the Qatar. You can't. You can't. Everybody, they had put up some random posts where they were like, if, you know, you were given money to leave here and things like that, leave the United States, would you leave and things like that? Absolutely. Hijra is incumbent upon every Muslim to try and seek, to try to leave a land that is under, not under Islamic rule, and to go to a land where there is Islamic rule and Sharia is enforced. That is Hijra. This is what we are commanded to do if we can do it. We should not live in the land of our oppressors. I didn't make that up. It's in Hadith. It's in Quran that we should do these things to be pleasing to Allah. Why do we want to continue to live here in this country and they don't want us here? But see, this is the thing. Again, this goes back to the sheep people and the wolf pack. They need us. Like I tell people, if you took all the Muslim people, this is the main problem that they have. They have problem with black people. So they don't want no blacks here. They don't want no Hispanics, which basically means, you know, Mexicans or, you know, people that come from South America. They don't want none of them people there. And now they don't want no Muslims here. So if we took those three categories out of the United States, this country would collapse and go to hell in a handbasket. If this is something that people don't know, and I learned this in my economics class because I was very taken aback by this when I found this out. If China, if Saudi Arabia took all their money out of the United States or reneged on their loans, this country would go to shambles. So just imagine, blacks left, Muslims left, Hispanics left, and China and Saudi pulled their money out of here. There would be no United States. So these people talk all this trash like they want us to leave. No, they don't. They need us here. They need us here to keep us in jail. They need us here to belittle us, to traumatize us, to persecute us. They need us here because this country can't survive without it. And let's be clear that even if all those people did leave, ignorant people that remain here would just hate on another species of people. They would, oh, now we don't like Asians. We want all the Asians out. Oh, we don't like people who get tan. Oh, we don't like people with curly hair. It would just continue. And we know this. It would just continue. They would find a reason to just hate anything. Because this is the ignorance. This is the veil that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put over their heart. There's nothing that can be done to rectify it unless Allah sees fit that is removed. It's not going to be removed. These people are so cold-hearted. And before I get into detail with it, I just wanted to say that a brother had a very, very great point on something he said. He said that it's best that the Muslims stick with the Muslims because your own non-Muslim family will turn against you in these times. Your non-Muslim family members will turn against you in these times because they don't know any better, especially the ones who want to remain ignorant about the religion. Even after you showed them through your actions that Islam made your life better, that you're no longer condoning the activities that you used to, you're doing something positive. That's one thing that I can't understand, how people who have non-Muslim family members, like you stop selling the drugs, you stop, you know, prostituting, you stop drinking, you stop partying, you stop whoremongering, you stop all these things and became a better person, but because you wear a kufi, a throbe, or a jilbab and a niqab, now your family hates you. They want to turn you away from Islam, but why though? All because you worship Allah. That's crazy. It's crazy. I just want, for the sake of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, just for Allah's sake, I just wish we could come together because there is strength in numbers. if we stick together and don't worry about what color she has on, worry about what masjid they attend, things like this, these trivial things. If we stuck together and said we're not going to tolerate the labeling, we're not going to live in fear, we're not going to have you, you know, accost our brothers and sisters without some kind of retribution. Like, you need to be arrested for this. You know, a sister that, you know, I'm real cool with on Facebook, her name is Keita Idris. She put up a post, and I don't know the exact number, but she said there was 365-something mass shootings in the United States so far this year or last year or whatever. And only one of those was allegedly caused by Muslims. Why don't you hear about these other ones in so much detail? Because there's a bigger agenda to it. And I'll definitely, inshallah, touch on that when I get deep into it. It's a bigger agenda because all those people who committed crimes, the guy who, Dylan Roof, who shot up the church, killed 9 people, he's a terrorist. He's clearly a terrorist. The guy who shot up the abortion clinic and killed those people, he's a terrorist. He's a domestic terrorist. There's no other word for it. He's a terrorist. Label it as it should be. Nobody's talking about the young brother Hamza. May Allah be pleased with him, make his grave spacious. May he be able to answer the questions of the grave. May he be raised on the highest ranks. May he be accepted into Jennifer Deuce. I mean, 17-year-old boy, Muslim boy. Y'all probably ain't hear about this in Oregon. He was working on a school project. He went to go to one of his friend's house to work on a school project. He was tossed off a 6-story building and was killed. Now, the boy who was with him when this incident happened with another boy had clearly made it known that he didn't like Muslims. And his hate and his rants were well known, like Facebook, all of it. It was all well known. They're not charging him with nothing. They're ruling Brother Hamza's murder right now as an accident. As an accident. Clearly, if he attacked this boy and pushed him, he's a terrorist. I don't care if you kill one person, you're a terrorist. If it was against somebody for their religion, their race, or anything else, it's a terroristic act. It is what it is. Family brother up in New York, pummeled in the face. They like, oh, we don't know who it is, and, you know, we don't know. But y'all can find out all this other information on stuff. Another thing that I wanted to touch base on in regards to this, and I'm just going to hold you guys for a few more minutes, something that really pissed me off about this whole situation of how they claimed that the two people were radicalized. They gave a timeline of how they showed that the sister became radicalized. And I'm going to talk more about this when I do the other show, because this type of stuff falls into place. And this is why I was trying to tell my sisters who don't all black and the niqab to be very careful. To be very careful. May Allah safeguard them. I want you guys to be very careful because they based a timeline and they showed the evolution of the sisters, how her hijab turned into allegedly extreme racism, extreme terrorism because she had on all black and a niqab. They first showed this sister as she was in, you know, Pakistan. And this is something that I want people to understand. Every nation of Muslims don't the hijab different. I need to make that clear. Every different culture wears their hijab differently. Not every culture wears it the same. And since I have been Muslim for, you know, a number of years now, I can automatically tell where you're from just by how you wear your kimar. I can tell where you're from. Because certain people wear certain styles, and that's just indicative to their culture. Like Turkish women, they like the more silky scarf, and they use pins. And they like it to form like almost like a bonnet in the front. That's indicative to women who live in Turkey who are, you know, Muslim. They like that kind of hijab. Indonesian sisters like the amira or the one-piece or the two-piece hijab. They like it like with a lot of rhinestones and the flowers and stuff like that. That's something that's indicative to Indonesia. African sisters usually like to wrap their hair with the turbans, and then they'll take the wax cloth or another lace type of material and cover over top of them. But a lot of times they wear it up in the turban, and they, you know, do their material in different styles like that, and they'll cover with an additional piece of cloth. African-American sisters usually wear the square kimars. Well, back in the day, we used to wear, like, the square kimar. We put it into a triangle, and then we pin it in the front. You could automatically tell, okay, that's an American sister. That's how they wear their hijab over there. Pakistani sisters usually would just wear, you know, just like a shell is draped over, and some of their hair would show. So how they did the evolution of her was like, okay, she was in college. Look, she had most of her hair showing. She just had a cloth over. As she got a little bit, you know, deeper, you could see that she just had the, like, this flash of her hair out in the front, but she was covered. Her neck and everything was covered. Then, you know, before she came to the United States, she had the shella. She had a whole shella on. So if you take the, you know, the rectangle shella and pin it, she had that style. But then they said she became radicalized when she wore all black with the niqab. Astaghfirullah. This is for the listeners. This is for anybody watching, listening, whatever you're doing. All black and wearing a niqab does not make you an extremist, does not make you a terrorist. You need to make that clear. Some sisters feel better and more comfortable wearing black in a niqab. That's their preference. That's their right to do that. Not all sisters who wear a niqab are married. It's not mandatory for you to wear a niqab, but if the sister chooses to do it or if her husband requests her to do it, so be it. So be it. But that does not make you radicalized. That does not make you extremist, and that does not make you a terrorist. You know, these type of things I hate. And they showed him, oh, he doesn't have a beard. Oh, now he has a goatee. Oh, now he has a halfway beard. Oh, now look at him. He's just radicalized. He got a kufi on, a throat, and a beard. This is what the media is doing to keep these people in fear of Muslims. May Allah punish him, punish them with his wrath for doing this stuff to us, because it not just affects them. It does not just affect the sister with the niqab on and all black. It affects me, because if I see somebody saying something to my sister in Islam, I'm going to come to her defense. I'm not going to let nobody attack her. And brothers, we should do the same. This is not a black, white, Middle Eastern, Arab, African. This is not an issue. This is a Muslim issue that we are dealing with right here. This is a Muslim issue. We do not act in violence. We do not do any of that. But it's time that we start protecting Muslims, because this stuff is only going to get worse. It's only going to get worse. Anybody has any comment, questions, or concerns, feel free to call in at 805-727-7013. I'm going to just go through, getting ready to end the call. I'm getting too emotional. These type of things, like, really hurt me because I know what we believe. You know, this is the most hardest thing for Muslims, because we know these things that they claim that we do, we don't do these things. We don't teach these things. Now, let's be clear. We got some crazies out there who are doing stuff. I'm not saying that Muslims are all perfect, that nobody's doing anything. Not saying that at all, because we know that you got extremists with every religion. Jim Jones, wiped out all those people. Look at the Moonbeam cult, where they all wore the Nike sneakers and the black sweatsuits and killed themselves. Like, so we know there's extremists in every religion. But that does not make up the majority of the Muslims. We are not teaching this hate. We are not teaching these extremes. We are not. This is not something that is located in the Quran. This is not something that's, you know, taught in Hadith. These things are not what Muslims do. But people want to label us with these things. So these are the things that upset me a great deal, because, you know, my children ask me about certain things, like, you know, Umi, well, why would they do that and stuff like that? And I'm like, I don't know. They're like, well, we don't learn that stuff. We never learned that stuff. You know, the prophets, they were all good people. I understand that. I know this. You know this. You know, again, we could go on and on and on and say, okay, these are the things that, you know, we want to stand against, and we don't condone these. These people are not going to believe us, no matter how many times we say it, no matter how we say it, when we say it, where we say it, and how we say it. They're not going to believe us. They're not going to believe us. May Allah safeguard the Muslims, aid them in their travels to make them reach their destination safe. May Allah keep us steadfast on the Siratul Mustaqim and always keep him first, always looking for guidance through the Quran and the Hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ameen. If you want to reach me, if you got a topic for a show, event, anything that you want to on the show, I'm open for ideas. Feel free to give me a call, 610-836-2120. You can send me a text message. That's a cell phone, so you can send me a text message or leave a voicemail, and I'll try to get back to you at my earliest convenience. You can also reach me at qamrma@gmail.com. I'm on all social networks. That's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Path, Google Talk. Inshallah, I'm trying to see, give y'all an update on what the show is going to be on Saturday. Inshallah, it will be false flag attacks. I'm asking everybody to Google that ahead of time, to get an understanding of it, because I don't want to talk about it in such a high level. I want to try to bring it down so that everybody can understand what this means and why they're doing this. It's a greater agenda. We have to be mindful. We have to, you know, be aware of these things. So I thank all the callers for dialing in and taking time out of your evening to listen to me talk. I appreciate it. I appreciate all the shares and likes and things of that nature. It really helps spread the word out there. This show is not just for me. This is for everybody. Everybody needs to know or listen in to what we're trying to do. We're not trying to advocate any hate. We're trying to advocate peace, love to our neighbor, you know, keep things civil. Don't want to, you know, draw up any negative things with anybody. We want to keep this civilized, so that we can just, you know, live our days out. That's it, basically. Thank you for joining. Religion Means a Lot. Today's date is December 10th, 2015, and tonight's topic was, are you afraid to be Muslim in the United States? Assalamu alaikum, and have a good evening.